Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 374, stanzas 2 and 3. O praise ye the Lord for his goodness. 'Tis pleasant his praises to sing, his people, his chosen and precious, your praises with gratitude bring. 2 and 3 of 374.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Revelation, and there of Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are in this day called together that we may in a special way acknowledge thee for all the gifts that thou dost bestow upon us continually. And Lord, thou knowest how that we feel so unable to give unto thee that right honor and that right glory. We have so fallen from that place of honoring and glorifying thee as thou hast created us to do, so that even after received grace, thy church is so short in this duty, in this obligation, but also in this desire that does live by times in their heart, thy servant did say unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. And those works are all about us, our fathers do say, even as a most elegant book, that we might read in that book of nature, which thou hast placed all around us in its great beauty and also in its great usefulness for us. Oh, to read therein the existence and the love and the care and the long-suffering of God, who dwelleth above all the heavens. O Lord, we have lost our ability to see. We have no eyes to see. We have no understanding to read that book anymore. And yet thou sayest that we are without excuse, because we have been given a rational mind, and that we might look with our eyes, that we may hear with our ears the birds and all nature praising God. all that we might also with our understandings lift up our voice unto thee. O Lord, who dost cover thyself with light as with a garment, oh, we may look about us and see how thou dost stretch the heavens above us as a curtain. O thou makest the clouds thy chariot. Thou walkest upon the wings of the wind in order to fulfill all thy counsel that thou bringest about for the sake of thy own church. O Lord, thou dost send the springs of waters into the valleys. Thou dost water the hills from thy chambers. O give us eyes to see it, how thou dost make the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man. Thou carest for thy own creation, and thou dost bring all the young also to the birth, and thou givest an increase where man does only able to stand on the side and to wonder. And then not only for our practical use, but also for the enjoyment of man. For thou dost give also wine to make glad the heart of man. O thou givest oil to make his face to shine. O Lord, how manifold thy servant did say are all of thy works in wisdom. Thou hast made them all, and we, in our wretched and miserable fallen condition, do take them all for granted not only, but do take them into our hands and turn our backs unto thee and sin against thee with them. O Lord, humble us this day under thy great goodness and make us ashamed of ourselves as we stop for a moment in this world and reflect upon all thy great goodness and all thy long-suffering mercies bestowed upon us. Oh, could it be that in this day, for a moment, our meditations of thee may be sweet, when we may consider who that we are in thy most holy sight, and who that thou art despite who that we have made ourselves to be. Oh, that our hearts may be so brought into the dust of self-abasement before thee, that we may be given so to bow before thee, as we are not able to do except by the power of thy most Holy Spirit. Oh, give us a moment, Lord, in this day, that we may say with thy servant, I will sing unto the Lord. As long as I live, while I have any being, oh, I will sing, I will lift up my voice unto him. Oh, give it in our hearts, Lord, when it does not lie in our hearts by nature. Ah, we need to be born again, even to give the least glory and honor and praise unto thee. For without faith it is impossible to please thee. Oh, give it then, Lord, in the heart of each and every one of us, the desire to do it and also the ability to do it. Oh, that we might see how far short that we come in these things. Ah, that we would never lift up ourselves in ourselves because there is nothing in us to be lifted up. Oh, look upon us then in this hour. And all the needs in the congregation are so many, and thou knowest how, and that we have gone through the season that is behind us, because there are also many cares. Oh Lord, there are concerns, there are sorrows, but oh, could it please thee to give us to be among that church, for whom all things are working for good, to them that please thee. Oh, that in the end one day we also may acknowledge thee for all the afflictions and all the trials and all the persecutions and all the temptations that have been brought upon us here below. Ah, that we may be given eyes to behold the working of thy wondrous, mysterious hand in our life. Oh, to draw us from nature's darkness and from the sin and the pleasures of this world, and to bring us to the service of the Most High and Living and Thrice Holy Worthy God. Oh, look upon us in this day, Lord. Give us truly an acknowledging heart. Oh, grant unto us for the first time or by renewal a heart that bows under thee in truth and in uprightness. Wilt thou bless thy word for a moment in this afternoon when we are together thereunder. Oh, fill us with thy spirit to bring thy word in all truth as thou wilt have it to be brought. Oh, put thou a word in our mouth. Give the children and the youth also when they are together with us in thy house. Oh, may it be a hearing ear and an understanding heart. The fear of thy name while they are still young, the love of thee burning within, and the service of thee in their hands and in their feet. Oh, could it be all of us together? Oh, that we might in this life learn to love and to serve that God whom we have left in our father Adam, and that we may worship with our whole being thy dear and only begotten Son, who has made it possible to return unto thee. Help us then, Lord, to gather in this day for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 306 all the stanzas. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise, praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord. His name adore from this time forth forevermore. From this time forth forevermore. 1-4 of Psalter 306. Beloved congregation, what could Mephibosheth do to repay David for his great kindness? He could do nothing. He was lame on both his feet. Do you feel that also? Also today, that you say, what shall we render unto the Lord for all his goodness unto us? That was very humbling for Mephibosheth, that he must only lay before David and acknowledge his wretchedness and David's goodness. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? What does the Lord say? He says, I will take no bullock out of thine house. I will take no he-goat out of thy fold. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That is his desire. And that is what the church will do to all eternity, in which we wish with the Lord's help to consider with you for a moment out of the words of our text this afternoon, which can be found in the portion that was read to you, Revelation chapter 4, and thereof the 11th verse. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So far the words of our text. The church's eternal adoration. First, who this church is, and second, what their adoration is. The church's eternal adoration. First, who this church is and what their adoration is. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Did you ever say that, congregation? But did you ever feel it also, just like Mephibosheth did feel it, that you could not bring yourself in that place, in that low place before the Lord, that your heart maybe did desire to come? Who is speaking here? We read the 24 elders. So who are the 24 elders? To find that out, we need to go to the context, and then we need to go right back here to the beginning, because we are in the revelation of John. John was banished. He was in isolation. He was in affliction on the Isle of Patmos. But I thought, was that really such an affliction for John? Because he can be separated from all men in this world. But then the Lord came to him. And the Lord opened things unto John. We read heaven was opened to him. He was brought, we read, in the Spirit of God to view things that never a man in the world has seen before or since. We read, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Would you ever want to see, boys and girls, what is in heaven? You can see from the earth a little bit what is in the sky. But that is not the heaven that John may see into. The Lord opened unto him what was beyond the sky, what is in the third heavens. And we read here it was after this. So there were several visions that were given to the Apostle John. They were all given to him in this one day. It was the Lord's day. Oh, the Lord blesses his Lord's day, even when John is in banishment. And then he is coming to him in a special way, and he is revealing things by vision unto him. And there are several visions, and it seems that they have not come all at once, but that John may receive, as it were, a little breath in between these visions. The first visions, they are to be read of in the first several chapters. There we read about things that were present. Then the angel of the Lord, then the Lord is speaking to the angels of the seven churches. Those are churches that existed in that time. And then we read after this, thus after those visions that are speaking about the present, after this, and then he hears a voice. We read, it is as a trumpet, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Congregation, do you believe that there are things that are coming that shall be hereafter? Or do we only live as if there are things that are present? Oh, the Lord shows to John that there are things that are coming, young people. They are so far above everything that is taking place in this world that is coming. There are afflictions coming. You say, when I look and I see in the world what is coming, then there are so many things that I look forward to, maybe. All kinds of technology, all kinds of inventions. You say, what a world that we are living in our time. That is maybe for you an exciting thing. You say, I am looking forward now to the things that are coming in my life. Are you looking forward to the things that are coming after this life? That is what John may hear from the Lord himself, the things that are coming hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. So we have a throne. And children, you can tell me what a throne means. You say, if there is a throne, then there is also a ruler. And what kind of a ruler is this that John sees? He sees the ruler that is in heaven. That is in heaven. John was a persecuted man. Then it is the world, it is the enemy of the church, and that desires to destroy that church. And now the Lord, he shows to him that there is a throne that is so far above this world. And so for John, in that persecution, in that affliction, then he receives a blessed comfort. And when he may see this throne that is set up over all the world and over all of the enemies of the Lord, we read, one sat upon this throne. You say, who is that? That is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Because later we read a distinction, and that there is the Lamb, and that the Lamb is also standing there by this throne. And so in this throne, one is sitting, and that one that is sitting there is the Father. That is the first person of that Holy Trinity. There is no human likeness that is attributed to this person. No, when we read here of this person, we read that it is one. He is sitting upon this throne. And when we think about Sinai and how that the Lord has descended upon that mountain, and then the children of Israel saw no likeness in that day. There was no shape, there was no form that could be seen, because God is a spirit. We read the same about Isaiah, that he says he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he says that his train filled the temple. And yet he describes nothing of a likeness or of a shape. We read that also of Daniel and of Ezekiel, that they have seen something of the visions of God, but never was there any form that has been attributed to him. Here we read he was like, he was to look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone. Thus we read here about the precious stones that were in that time that also are in our own time. So when we think about precious stones, then we are thinking about something of splendor. We are thinking about something of glory. So the apostle says, I saw him, that one, but I saw that it was a splendor, that it was a glory, like the most glorious things that we do set our eyes upon as we are here below. A rainbow, he says, was round about this throne. Oh, what is more glorious, children, than a rainbow? You see that sometimes, right? You go outside when it is, after it's rained a little bit, and then you are looking and you say, oh, how beautiful, a beautiful rainbow. And if we think about the kings that are in this world, then they have many times wrappings, drapings that are upon their thrones, beautiful tapestries that are making their throne and all that is about that throne to be very, very beautiful. And now the Lord, he is setting about his throne a glorious, glorious light. Thus he is enthroned, and he is setting a very beautiful tapestry of light, all different colors of light that are around him. There is no king that can set his throne in such a glorious way as this King of Kings, as this Lord of Lords. Do you ever look at that, young people? You say in the evening, and you are looking there toward the west, and then the sun is going down, and then there are a few clouds in the sky, and you see the rays of the sun, and you see all those beautiful colors, or in the morning, when that sun is coming up over the horizon, when you look, and they say there are going to be northern lights, and you are staying up a little while, and you are going to look into the north. Oh, and then you see the dancings of the beautiful glory that the Lord is giving in the heavens. And you say, what shall that be? In that day that the Lord is coming again, he is coming on the clouds, and that the glory of the heavens that is all around him. John may see something like this, and he may see this beautiful rainbow. The rainbow makes you think about what? Say, Noah. Yes, it makes us think about the covenant. The covenant that God made with man, that is, with the natural man, mankind, his creature, about seed time and harvest, that he would provide everything, and that he would no more destroy man by means of a flood from this earth. But now, congregation, we read something here that is so much greater. Because boys and girls, if you look outside and you see a rainbow, how much of the rainbow can you see? You say it is always just a half of a circle. But here we read something else. Here we read about a full circle. This is a rainbow that is, we read, round about the throne. Thus now the providential dealings that rainbow that we see in the sky, those providential dealings of the Lord, they have to do with the upholding of the human race. But now we read something much more, because we read about a rainbow, and that is speaking about the covenant of the Lord that he is upholding, not merely with the human race, but that he is upholding with his own church. And that rainbow is now not a half of a rainbow, but that is a full circle that is round about his throne. And that rainbow is always there. That is, the Lord is ever looking upon this rainbow, and that he will ever care for his church as they are in this world, and then he will provide for them. He will give them everything. He will make sure that everything, every providence is working together for the good of his own people. That is, in sight we read, like unto an emerald. What color is that? That is a very glorious, that is a beautiful green. So that is now the color from this rainbow that is preeminating, that is coming into the foreground. And we know as human beings what that color green is. And that is a color that is very gentle. That is a color that is very calming to man. And thus we think of the consolatory promises of the Lord that are coming into the foreground for his own church. And all these various colors, they are all coming together. They are all combining together, just like all the providences of the Lord. They are all coming together. That is here and there in the midst of time. That is over the whole world, but also from the beginning of the world to the end of the world. All of those various providences of the Lord, all coming together and working together, and that is all for the comfort, that is all for the consolation and all the mysterious workings of the Lord, and that is all for the good and for the welfare of his church, and that it seems not so while they are in this world, but the Lord is declaring. He shows it unto the Apostle John, and the Apostle John must write this unto his church. The Lord is declaring it unto them, even unto the end of the world, whatever trial and whatever tribulation and that church must go through. And then there is consolation that is above the clouds. And then there is a God who is remembering always that covenant, and that he has sworn with his only begotten Son, and that he is made with his elect that are in his Son, Noah's rainbow. That was a promise then to all mankind. But now this rainbow, that is now the assurance for his church. And what went before, and that rainbow, children, that rainbow, Noah's rainbow, we'll call it, what went before it? Well, before that went a flood that was to purify the world, because it was wicked. Wicked now too, isn't it? And that was to purify the world. The Lord would take away all that murder and all that hate and all that sin and all that idolatry. And we would say he would begin it over again. Now the Lord said he will never do that again, not with water. But he is going to do it again. The Lord says that last purification is not going to be with water, but that is going to be with fire. And the Lord is going to make that fire purge all of the elements when they are melting with a fervent heat, we read. And when that fire is purging this world, the Lord says there is then going to be a new heavens and there will be a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, sin that is never going again to come into this world, this new heavens and this new earth that the Lord is going to make. He is going to rid that world of all of his enemies, and that is all against himself. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Who are these? These are called elders. Say, who can they be? Could they be the angels? Well, we read they have crowns on their heads. Thus, that means that they have received a kind of a victory, that they have been through as some kind of trial, some kind of tribulation. So this is not to be spoken of concerning the angels. But this is here spoken of concerning the church, which is triumphant. They have a crown that is upon their heads. This church, we read, is sitting upon seats. Those seats, the word is actually speaking about a throne. That is a throne not as high and as central as the throne that is in the midst. But these are, as it were, lower thrones. And sitting on these seats are 24 elders. These congregation are the heads of the church of God. That is, there were the 12 patriarchs in the Old Testament. There are the 12 apostles in the New Testament. And thus these together make up that the heads of the true church of God, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament together. And thus the Lord says, it is one. It is my church, both of old and those upon whom that the ends of this world are come. They are sitting upon these seats. We read of also in Revelation the song of Moses and the Lamb. Moses and the Lamb. So that's Moses from the Old Testament. He was a type of Christ. And we have the Lamb in the New Testament. So we see how the Lord, he is saying these are all one. It is my church. And here it is speaking about that church that has received the crown. What does that mean? That mean they have, means they have all fought in the same warfare. And they have all received this same crown. And out of the throne proceed lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Lightning, are you not afraid of that, children? And thunder, when the thunder is coming, and you say, Mother, I am afraid. Yes, all that speaks about God's majesty. We feel it when that thunder is rolling. And that makes us think about something, doesn't it? All that is our own sin, and how the Lord will consume the wicked. Then we are afraid of him, and why? Because we feel something that we cannot stand before him. That thunder and that lightning was on Mount Sinai, when the Lord has given his law. Oh, then it was felt by the children of Israel. Then they have fled from that mount. They said, let not God speak unto us, lest we die. Oh, let the Lord speak unto you, Moses, and speak thou unto us. And so here John sees also emanating from that throne, wherein he sees no form, the majesty and that God, he is a just God, the justice that is emanating from his throne.
seven lamps. Seven lamps of fire we read here by this throne. Oh, what is that? That is here a picture. It is an emblem of the Spirit of the Lord. Seven of them. They are going here and there in the world. We can read in the first three chapters about the seven churches, and that Spirit of the Lord is going to all of the different churches that are spread over this world. And so he goes as one that gives light. He goes as one that gives life. He goes as one that gives instruction and who purifies God's people, and one who condemns, and he burns up those who are wicked. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. That is, congregation, in contrast to the sea that you read elsewhere in the book of Revelations. That is, the many waters we read. And then the great whore was sitting upon those many waters. But those waters are a picture we read there in Revelation also of multitudes and nations and tongues. Thus they are putrid waters. They are waters wherein sin is. We would say they are boiling waters with filth. There is a sea. We read of in Revelation that is going to be done away with. There is a sea that will no more be. We read, and there was no more sea. But that was not this sea that is spoken of here. There we read about a sea of glass, like unto crystal. Thus, it is a clean sea. It is a very pure sea. So what is a sea? See, but that is a very great body of water. And here it speaks about a vessel, a great, large vessel that can hold much, much water, so big that it's called a sea. And we read in God's Word that Solomon made a molten sea, and that was to replace the sea that was the laver that was in the tabernacle, and that had to be not too big because they had to be able to carry that from place to place. But then, of course, Solomon built a temple. They didn't need to carry it anymore. So Solomon made a molten sea, we read, and that sea was much larger. It was 7.5 feet tall. It was 15 feet wide. And so that was a very, very large sea that could hold very, very much water. And what was that sea for? Well, that sea was for washing. That was for the priest to wash. That was for the washing of the sacrifices. So it was a sea for purification. And then we read in Revelation that it is a sea of glass mingled with fire. Mingled with fire. So we have purification not only by water, but we have purification also by fire. And that is now a very large body of water, that it is capable of much purification, that it is capable of swallowing up the greatest of iniquities and the sins that are being washed in that sea. That we say that that is so much water, and that symbolizes that there is no end, as it were, to the amount of pollution, and that it is able to swallow up and still remain as pure as crystal. That is not a turbulent sea, no. That is a sea that is standing there very weighty. It is a sea that is standing there very, very, very calm, very, very firm. That is a sea that has a great depth to it. It has a very clear transparency, as it is standing there, a sea of glass like unto crystal. Thus this is the blood by which that church of God has received that victory, and by which that church of God is sitting there upon these thrones, and they are wearing these crowns, overcoming by, we read, the blood of the Lamb. So they have received their crowns, their victory. Before the throne, it was a sea of glass like unto a crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Four beasts. Later we read that John saw a beast rising up out of the sea. The congregation, this is a different word. So the word that is being used here in the original language, it is being translated a beast. And we have often a negative connotation when that word is used. But here there is to be nothing negative about it. No, the word actually means to be a living creature. It is a creature which is alive. And it is an emblem here of the true servants of God, the ministers of God. We read there are four of them, thus sufficient of them, and that they are able to go unto all the four corners of the earth, we read in the book of Revelation, and to do the work of God in the midst of this earth. But we read here, they are in the midst and round about the throne. They are in the midst of the throne, and they are round about it. Thus, they have a very, very close place with God. They have a very special place. They have a place that is very, very near unto Him. They are being described as those who have a place in that throne. That is, that they have a place of communion with God Himself. We read that they are full of eyes. What do you do with your eyes, children? You look, and we are watchful. Thus, full of eyes means they are very, very watchful. And they have eyes that are before them, we read. Those eyes that are before them are looking to Him that is going before them. They are looking to Him who has to lead them. Or that has to instruct them, has to give them what they need to do their work. As the eyes of servants look unto their masters, so our eyes look unto Thee. Thus they are full of eyes. They have eyes before them, where they have also eyes that are behind them. Those eyes, they are looking back. They are looking at their flock. That flock they are watching over. So what they are receiving from Him that goes before, they are bringing and watching over that flock that is now coming after them. And finally, we read they are full of eyes within. Thus, they are also watchful over their own selves, their own soul's condition. That is so necessary for them to do their work as they go to the four corners of this world. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Thus they are not all the same. Each one of them has certain peculiar characteristics. And the Lord shows that there is in these servants then a certain diversity, that one is given this gift and another is given that gift. But now all together this is the Lord's work as He is bringing in His church. Thus there is one, the first living creature is like a lion. He is a Boanerges. He is a son of thunder. He is a man that is so full of courage. He is fearless. He is made for a time like Luther was made, when it was necessary to go before the enemies of the doctrine, the enemies of the Church of God, in a fearless way, and to stand when no other were able to stand. The second we read was a beast like unto a calf or an ox, that is an animal that is very patient. He is durable. He is a calm animal. He is one that is able to just plod on, that no matter what weight that you put on him, all then he is willing to suffer that weight and to just do his labor and go forth to be useful in that true church of God. The next one is a living creature. He has a face as a man, so that is distinguished from the face of a beast like the others. So a man, he is different from a beast. Why? Because he has rationality. And thus we have here those who are given those special gifts of rationality, of wisdom, of prudence, and who are able to be used in the church of God, like a Calvin and so on, that are able to build up that church of God. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. He is one and that is flying always so near unto God. Or he is drawing men away, away from this world. He is making them jealous of the portion that is above. He is making them to be strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. And he is given a special place near unto God, there where he may delve and he may be shown something of the blessed mysteries that are in the kingdom of God. And now all of these together, they are representing the blessed wisdom of God. How that he is sending forth his servants to the four corners of the world. And he is gathering in that church under every circumstance that they may be here below. And he is going to make them to sing. We will sing verse 372. Come, all ye servants of the Lord, lift up your voice with one accord, Jehovah's name to bless, ye that are standing night by night within the house of his delight, his glorious name confess. 1 and 2 of 372. church's eternal adoration, who this church is, second what their adoration is. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Who says that? That is those 24 elders. It is the redeemed church of God. They are lying on their faces. They are lying before that throne of God. They have fallen down, we read, before him that sat on the throne. O congregation, is that now not a blessed place? To fall down on our face, with our face to the earth, before God, to honor, to magnify, and to glorify him. Oh, would that not be a wonder if we could be given such a place as this in our hearts, at the very least, in this day, with our faces to the earth? Are you ever jealous? Do you ever say, oh, could I worship? Could I worship him aright? How did they come there? We read about when that happened. When those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, then the elders fall down before the throne. Thus, the Lord is using those beasts, that is, those living creatures, he is using them as an instrument in his hand. We read in Isaiah also about those living creatures. They had six wings. That is the same here. And Isaiah says, with twain they cover their face. Why? Because they do not dare to look upon God in his holiness and in his majesty. With twain they cover their feet because they are ashamed of themselves. And with twain they do fly at the command of God to go in whatever direction, in whatever place, that it is necessary to labor for the bringing in of his own kingdom and to fulfill his will. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That is, congregation, the work of the true servants of the Lord, to preach and to declare the blessed attributes of the Most High God. Holy, 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 inconceivably holy. Oh, if servants, or if we truly came, if we truly came out from the midst of that throne, or as the servants of God, then we would so bring this message in the midst of the congregation. Holy, 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 O congregation, how short we are in this. How poor are we in this? Then we say, is it not a wonder? And that there is no bowing in our congregation if we ourselves, we do not come out of the midst of that throne. Oh, we cannot be saved except that we experience something in our life of that holiness of God, because we cannot know our wretchedness, and we cannot know our misery, our sinfulness, except we know a little bit of his holiness. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who alone was able to deliver us from the depth of that pit that we have fallen into in our father Adam, and who we and what we have experienced to be an absolute impossibility to deliver ourselves. And then, O Lord God Almighty, who has decreed and was able to fulfill, not only in his Son, but also by his Spirit, to deliver us from death, to raise us from that being apart from God and never being able to give it unto ourselves. And so that church is here magnifying him, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, the eternal God, that is to distinguish him from every other idol, every other God that man would make into a God and would love and would serve here on this world. Oh, do we ever feel a little bit, see a little bit, that he it is who was and who is and who is to come and who is so worthy for of our service. So John says those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne. Oh, congregation, will you ask the Lord for this? That your minister may also do this. That the Lord would bring us a little into his throne. That the Lord would give us also a little of that blessed communion, that we might know it for ourselves, that we may be given by him to portray it also unto you, that we may experience something of that blessed goodness of the Lord. That is not only for ourselves, no, but that is also for you. Why, what does Solomon say? He says, O Lord, draw me, we will run after thee. Thus that is the bride. And when the bride, she says, Lord, oh, if I may be drawn by thee, then I can also be an instrument. Then it will shine from me. And then something is going to come echo forth from me. And then others also are going to see it. And they are going to desire that blessed portion that thou givest unto thy people. And now the Lord says here that he begins with his servants, he begins with his ministers, and John may see that with his eyes. He says, when those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, then what? Then those 24 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before him. So we say those servants, they are the voorzangers. They are the ones that are going before that blessed choir. And then the church, they are casting their crowns. They say, where do those crowns come from? They don't deserve to be on our head. No, they belong to thee, O Lord. And they take those crowns and they throw them. They cast them before that throne. And then that church that begins to sing. They begin to sing along in a blessed harmony then with these living creatures. Oh, that is why that servant, he must be a living creature. And that he also must be lively. He needs to have it also given to him over and over, that life in his soul and that comes from above. And then that church, they are falling on their faces and they are worshiping and worshiping him that sat on the throne. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That song that is singing about something that we don't usually sing about here. No. Actually, they are singing about something that the natural man, we as a natural man, are very often complaining about. That is what Satan came to Eve and to Adam and said, you now can be your own God. You don't need to under him to say what is right and what is wrong. You can say what is right and wrong. You can be the sovereign. You can sit upon that throne. And we say now, why does he yet find fault? Ah, then we are arguers with that sovereignty of God. What do we read here? We read of a church that the Lord has taught to bow under his blessed sovereignty. And he brings that church to adore him because of his sovereignty. So, further in the next chapter, then those four living creatures, you can read it when you go home, children, four living creatures, they are going to lead the elders in a different song. And it is called there in the next chapter a new song. And if you read it, you will see what the song is about. That is about the Redeemer. That is about the Savior. But that is not here in this song. No, this is a different song. This song here is about the eternal goodness of God, the glory of God, the power of God that he has manifested in his creation to bring about his own good pleasure. Then it is a magnifying of the sovereignty of God in all of his dealings. When man is looking over all his life and that warfare, that militant church, and what they have been through, and now they are marveling at the providences of God to bring about what he himself desired. And now they may adore and they may honor and they may glorify him for going through, That is going through with every affliction, with every trial, with every tribulation that they may now see was so necessary to bring about this end where they now may be sitting, what they now may be doing, and now they may magnify the works of the seven spirits of God and all the multitude of the mysterious workings that they so often in their life did not understand and did not agree with. And now they are singing, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Ah, that is a church that is now gloriously arrayed congregation in a pure white garment. They are now sitting in the immediate presence of that holy God, of that throne that is emanating with lightnings, with glory. And they are not afraid, but they may sit in that blessed presence of him who is there. There is on one of those seats a cheating publican. Next to him is sitting a persecuting Pharisee. Next to him is sitting a denying disciple. Next to him is sitting a murderous thief. Next to him is sitting an idolatrous Manasseh. Next to him is sitting a murderous and adulterous David. Next to him is sitting a deceiving Jacob. Next to him is sitting a traitorous Adam. All of them. They're all sitting. They're all sitting together. They are sitting before that throne by the sea which is before the throne. They are sitting in white robes. They're communing with one another. Oh, they are adoring. When those living creatures, they are beginning to sing. And those living creatures are crying, holy, holy, holy. Then they are falling. They're falling from their thrones on their faces before the throne of God. And they're worshiping him that liveth forever and forever. That cheating publican, oh, he is magnifying God, that he has laid a burden in his breast, and that he is made to carry that burden throughout his life, that he had to smite his breast for, and now he is adoring the blessed providences of God for bringing that heaviness in his chest. That persecuting Pharisee, he is adoring him. Oh, for taking him in his self-righteous pride and for laying him flat upon the earth. He is then adoring him. That thief, that murderous thief, he is magnifying that same God for hanging him upon the cross. At Calvary, our adoring congregation, Manasseh, or adoring him. And when he has taken all of his idols, taken him from his idols, and he has bound him in the prison house, or he is magnifying the name of God and a Jacob. He is there on his face. He is adoring him. For every circumstance and every providence, that while he walked through this world, he said, all these things are against me. And now these, they are saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O congregation. Did you ever have it? One of the commentators that I read, you know, it made me actually Friday a little discouraged, to be honest, because you know what he said. He said, it doesn't say here, we thank thee. He said, because that church, they can never come up. They can never come up to thanking him as they would want to thank him. And then I thought, oh Lord, shall it never be, that I can do that all without restriction? Can it never be that I, like a running greyhound, that it would be comely? You know, I think it is not right. I think it is not right because we do read here that when those living creatures, they give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and forever. Oh, I think that desire of God's church, that it might one day come true, that they can fulfill that desire that is now living in the bottom of their heart, that without restriction, without sin, in a blessed perfection, may lift up their heart and soul and voice to magnify Him who is worthy, worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. O congregation, what a thanksgiving day. One eternal day, never to end, eternally and eternally. Oh, in some measure we need to know it. Just a little bit here below. What that is to fall under that blessed sovereignty of God. We are sons and daughters of Adam. We are so, and we cannot often agree. And we pray for something, and then in our heart, it can be even against it. Because our flesh, that flesh that is always coming in between it. But congregation, there is going to come a day when that desire of that church that is born in the new birth. You ever have a boys and girls that is born in the new birth? What is born there, that is going to be born out in heaven. And then that church is going to forever and to forever magnify Him who is so worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but stammer a few words. Oh, could it be for the drawing of our souls to the things that are above and to the blessed mysteries and gifts that we cannot miss as we go through this world. Oh, give us to love Thee, Lord, for Thou art good, and Thou art worthy to receive all praise and honor and glory. Dismiss us with Thy blessing, with good thoughts of Thee, meditations of Thee. Be with us in this day and in this week. Keep us, oh, watch over us, include us in that rainbow that is round about Thy throne, and look upon us for the good of body, but also for the good of our souls. And wilt Thou care for us when we hope to gather together with those who desire to be united in the bond of holy matrimony. And wilt Thou be with us on that day and with them, and that Thou may remember us as a consistory, all those that travel back and forth. Watch over us in our labors in home, at school, and abroad. Keep us from sin, forgive our sins, and wash us in that sea, and that is before that throne. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 308, 1, 3, and 5. Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto Thee be glory given. In love and truth Thou dost fulfill the counsels of Thy sovereign will. Though nations fail Thy power to own, yet Thou dost reign, and Thou alone. 1, 3, and 5 of 308. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.